Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Levi Langer. Maseches Bava Metzia has been dedicated by Rabbi and Mrs. Chaim Shlomo Metz. Le'ilei Nishmas Shmar Yehu Ben Chaim.
Maseches Bava Metzia, Daf Tzadik Aleph. We'll begin our discussion from the very bottom of the previous daf, where we have the machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish with regard to someone who is chosma b'koil, which is to say that he yells at the animal and causes it to prevent itself from eating. It's prevented from eating because of the yelling that he did. And this is a machloikis in the Gemara, if the person gets malchus for this, or do we call it a lav she'ein b'maisa because he just yelled. Rish Lakish holds that you're potter, because Rish Lakish says that kolo loy havi maisa. It was just a voice, and it's not called an act, so therefore it's in b'maisa and it's no malchus. Rav Yochanan holds that you're chayev, because akimas piv havi maisa, and you can see from the language that he uses, akimas piv, the movement of the mouth, he's focusing on the fact that there is in fact a maisa, and that an activity in the movement of the mouth, and therefore that that's called a lav sheyesh maisa, and according to Rav Yochanan, there's malchus. Tosfos asks Astir and Rav Yochanan, and elsewhere in Shas it appears that Rav Yochanan himself holds that just voice is insufficient to be called a maisa with regard to lav sheyesh maisa. So while over here, there's a Rav Yochanan holding you do get malchus for the chasima. And Tosfos has a big yesod to answer this question. He says that over here in our Gemara, we have something called b'dibure is avid maisa, which is to say that since the animal had actually a physical impact, was physically impacted by the fact that the person yelled at it because it was prevented from eating. So therefore that's called b'dibure is avid maisa, that there was an actual physical effect that was brought about by means of the dibur. And mele, that's a powerful sort of a dibur. It's not just an ordinary dibur, which is just speech, but alma. Tosfos proves from the Gemara Masechta Tmura that there is a concept like that, a more powerful sort of a dibur, which is b'dibure is avid maisa. The Gemara refers to Tmura in such a manner. Tmura itself is a voice, but it's not just your voice. You actually have an impact because you cause another ounce of kodesh through your voice. So therefore we have a concept that Tmura is a more maisa type of act. And Tosfos says that only in this type of a case, like Rabbi Yochanan over here, but dibur is avid maisa, and that's where Rabbi Yochanan holds that dibur is sufficient to be called a maisa, and you get malchus for it. There is a very, very basic and strong question on this Tosfos from the Pashat Shach of Atayra in the Gemara here, and it's asked by Rav Bissal Zolti in the Sefer Mishnas Yavetz, and it really needs to be discussed. Rav Zolti asks that if it really is true that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan holds in our Gemara that the dibur is sufficient to be called a maisa is because of Tosfos' idea that there was an actual physical effect that was brought about by it. The animal didn't eat, but the dibur is avid maisa. Then why is it that the Gemara, in the Lashon of Gemara, puts it completely differently? The Gemara does not say that the reason why Rabbi Yochanan argues in Rish Lakish and holds that the dibur over here is a mechayev of malchus is because of the dibur is avid maisa, the way you would think it should say, according to Tosfos' pshat. Rather, the Gemara focuses on something else. The Gemara says, Rish Lakish says that it's just a color, it's just a voice, and therefore it's not a maisa. And Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara explicitly talks about the fact that Rabbi Yochanan says, Akimas pev havi maisa. It was the movement of the mouth that was a maisa. So it sounds like almost a stira between the Lashon HaGemara in why Rabbi Yochanan's Mechayev and the explanation of Tosfos in why Rabbi Yochanan's Mechayev. In the Gemara it says, because Akimas pev havi maisa, the movement of the mouth. You moved your mouth. Akimas pev, Rish Lakish is just as kolo, it's just voice. Whereas, according to Tosfos, it appears to be that the reason Rabbi Yochanan Mechayev over here is something else. It's because of the dibur is avad mais. In other words, according to that, Rabbi Yochanan could just talk with the idea of kolo, voice, the way Rabbi Yochanan used it, and just told you what Tosfos tells you, that the dibur is avad mais, that's why it's a lav she'eshe mais. A strong question and how Tosfos understood the Gemara. Based on this, the Mishnah Yavetz makes a very remarkable analysis of this Gemara, which we'll go through briefly, and he says some Yesoida is based upon his analysis of the Gemara. The Mishnah Yavetz says that it seems to be clear that according to the way Tosfos is explaining Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan requires two separate ingredients to both be present in order to be for a voice to be called Havi Maisa, and to be called a Lav Sheyesh Maisa. And in broader terms, it appears, says the Mishnah Yavetz, that the idea here would appear to be that Lav Sheyesh Maisa has two separate ideas, both of which need to be fulfilled. Both qualifications need to be fulfilled in order for something to qualify to be called a lav sheyesh emaisa. The Mishnah Yavetz goes even so far as to be mefalpel al pidar koi, which we'll talk a little bit about. He's very marich, but he says that it actually could be two different sources of the lav sheyesh emaisa, which require two different things. One of these, says the Mishnah Yavetz, is a din in the choymer of the lois hasei, the severity of the lois hasei. It can't be a somewhat weaker lois hasei, which is lav sheyesh emaisa, which is somewhat weaker in the choymer and the severity of it. It has to be a strong, severe lois hasei, one that's labeled as havi maisa. The other halacha, says the Mishnah Yavetz, which he claims is an independent din, if you're going to have yeshve maisa and michayev malchus, the other is that it's a din, a gzeres hakosev, that you have to have done an action as opposed to having been inactive. That's not a din of the choymer of the lois hasei, like the first din, rather it's just a gzeres hakosev that only a maisa is mechayev malchus, a non-maisa cannot be mechayev malchus. So specifically over here, for example, says the Mishnah Yavetz, the way that it's going to work according to Tosis is as follows. In terms of the choymer of the lois hasei, in this case, the choymer of the lois hasei of the lav de chasima, is it chomur, the type of a chomerdika lois hasei, which has a maisa and which is machayev malchus? And the answer is yes. Because even if a person just utilized his voice, he just yelled, but since the yelling itself is powerful and impactful because it caused the animal to stop from eating, but dibure is avid maisa, so therefore that suffices to make it be called a chomerdika lois hasei in terms of having the chomer halav, the requisite severity in the lois hasei, to machayev malchus. However, explains the Mishnah Yavetz, even though you have the requisite choymer, the requisite severity in the lav, still, afa pikein, there is a tzveta din, a second independent halacha, that only a physical maisa is able to mechayev malchus, and not something which lacks the qualities of a physical maisa. Over here, it's true, it was powerful, it was impactful, your dibur, your yelling prevented it from eating. Still, the koil, just the voice that comes out of your throat, is not called a physical maisa. And that Rabbi Yochanan had to say, is a second an element here too, Akima Svosav Havi Maisa. He moved his lips, he did a physical Maisa. Now, Akima Svosav is a Maisa, so it's called a Maisa that is able to trigger a Malchus, to trigger an Oynish. But in terms of the Akima Svosav, to make it be called a Loizase with the Choymer, that, says the Mishnah Yavetz, you don't have that. He actually quotes a Mesach the Gemara, Mesach the Sanhedrin, the Samachay, that the Gemara says Akima Svosav is just a Maisa Zuta. It's just a small Maisa. So it would lack, therefore, says the Mishnah Yavetz, the requisite severity to be labeling the Lois Hasei as a Lav Sheyeshe Maisa that has the Choymer of Lav Sheyeshe Maisa. So again, the two dinam of the Mishnah Yavetz, one of them is in the Choymer Halav, and that we have to have the very powerful impact here, the fact that you're yelling caused the animal to stop from eating. The other is just a tnai, a din ba'almo, that only when you have a physical activity can you get mechayev malchus. To that I have to have an actual physical activity over here, and I have that fulfilled, according to Birchanan, with the Akimas Tvos of Havi Maisa. That's how we make the Tosis din with the Loshen and Gemara, according to the Mishnah Yavetz. Tosis is talking about one din, which is the Choymer Halav, and that's fulfilled by having the impact, the fact that you're yelling made the animal not eat. The other, the din of the Gemara, a Gneas HaKosev, that you have to have some sort of physical activity, and for that, no matter what kind of yelling it is, even impactful yelling won't suffice, you have to have the physical movement of the lips. Based upon this, Hezber in the Sugya, with the two dinim in Lav Sheyeshe Maisa, which both must be fulfilled in order to have Malchus, the Mishnah Yavetz wants to get around two problems that you have in the Sugya here. One of them is an interesting question that he asks on the Shitas of the Sefer HaChinuch, and Kama Mekoymois in the Sefer. Sefer HaChinuch writes in numerous places a Yesoid in Lav Sheyeshe Maisa. He writes this Yesoid in a bunch of places. I'll give one example in Mitzvah Kuf Yud Gimel, which is the Isser for a person to eat or to be nene, to get benefit from basa b'cholov. So the Chinuch says, well, if you eat basa b'cholov, you certainly get malchus. It's a lav sheyesh v'maisa, and you get malchus if you were amazed. However, if a person is nene, if he gets benefit from basa b'cholov, so the Chinuch gives an example. For example, let's say you gave the basa b'cholov to a friend, which causes you to get some benefit from the fact that you gave that gift. So perhaps you get malchus for that. After all, you did a maisa, you gave it over. Says the Chinuch, no. Because, he says, there is a yesoid, which is that the only only wine, the only way that I call a lav, sheyeshay maisa, is only if it's invariably violated by means of an activity. If it could be violated by means of an activity, but also alternatively, in an inactive manner, that cannot be called a lav sheyeshay maisa, de mechayev you malkos, even in those instances in which you violated it by means of a maisa. So, for example, says the chinuch, in this case, since you could benefit from basav cholov, for example, by smelling it, inhaling, different cases, we get the enjoyment, the pleasure of the basav cholov without doing any maisa. So without doing any activity. So a filu, if the person was nenef and basa b'cholof in a way in which he did do a ma'isa, like giving it over to some person who benefit from the giving, we would still call it that the lav is labeled in with ma'isa, and you won't get malchus ever because of the fact that it could be violated by means of an inactive manner. It isn't the shita of the Sefer HaChinuch B'Kama Mekoymes. It's fract of them, the Mishas Yaivis, the Chinuch seems to be nistar, it seems to be contradicted by the sugi here. Because if you look at our Gemara, the Gemara says, Itmar, Yochosu Rekoil, Van Higa Bekoil, it means that the person muzzled the animal by means of yelling at it. And there's a machloikis, Amiroim, whether you're going to get malchus for that. It's mashma in the Gemara, clearly, says the Mishas Yaivitz, that if the person would muzzle it in a regular manner of muzzling it and thresh with it, it appears to be a given in the Gemara that you would certainly would get malchus, because that certainly would be called a lav sheshei maisa. However, since he muzzled the bekoil, there's a machloikis, maybe that's called ein maisa, and therefore, Rish Lakish patis. Frak there, according to the Sefer HaChinuch, Rish Lakish who patis by the case where you yell at it, should also likewise patter from Malkus in all cases, including where you literally muzzled it physically and threshed with it, even though there's certainly Yeshe Maisa, because it ought to be relabeled, this Loisa say of Lechsachsam Shebedishai, ought to be relabeled according to Rish Lakish as a Loisa say that's violable, it could be violated by means of an Eimba Maisa, by yelling. So even if you'll violate it with a Maisa, it would still never get Malkus, according to the Yesod of the Chinuch, even though you muzzled it physically and did a physical activity, we ought to say that you never get malchus. And that's clearly muduyik in the Gemara otherwise. The Gemara is clearly mashma that the machlokes of Yechav Eshlokish is only in a case of Yechosa Bekoil. It seems to be a Gemara that would go against this Yisrael of the Chinuch. That's the Kasha. Dr. Meshes Yevitz, but according to we're explaining it, it actually works out very well. Because if you think about it, it seems clear that the Yisrael of the Chinuch, you want to make sense out of it. You want to try and understand it. What is the idea behind this Chinuch when he says that since it could be violated without a Maisa, so therefore even if I violated with a Maisa, it's still not going to be Chayav Malkus. Where does that come from? What kind of idea is that? What kind of logic is it based on? So clearly, Zokta Mishas Yaivitz, the Chinuch was based upon the first Yesoid in Lav Sheshe Maisa we're talking about, rather than the second Yesoid. In other words, Chinuch was going on the element of Lav Sheshe Maisa, which tells us that you need the Chomer HaLav, you need the severity of the Lav. It's so severe, it's a kind of Lav that's violated with a Maisa, not the less severe Lav that's violated without. Of them, Zok the Chinuch, that if you have a Lav that could be violated without a Maisa, that Lav lacks Chomer. It could be violated in an inactive manner. So even if I personally happen to have violated it with a Maisa, still the Lois say as a whole, the Klalusa is defined as a less chomedic Aloysa, say, it's the kind that doesn't take a Maisa to violate it, and therefore you never get Malkus for it. The Chinuch was not discussing the second Yesoid, which is Exas Akosa Ba'alma, only an act, only an action is Machayev, Malkus, not a non-action. Then, that second din that we're talking, that second halacha simply depends in every single case, Bazunder, every single individual case with Ne'atzmoy. Did I do the act or did I not do the act? And Meila, Zokt of them, the Mishas Yaivit, so in our Gemara, everybody would agree, both Rech and Erech Lakish, that I have the requisite Chomer Halav. The Lav is very Chomer, because like we said, the Chomer Halav over here is attained by means of the fact, like Tosei says, B'dibure is Avid Maisa, that by means of his speech, he had a physical impact, he prevented the animal from eating, and therefore, it has the requisite Chomer Halav. And not nisht in them, not in that nekuda, licked the machloikas between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. They're not talking about it. Everybody agrees to that point, that b'diburi is avid maisa, it's a chomer halav, it's a severe lois hasei. As you could see from the language of the Gemara itself, that's not what they argue about. What they argue about is in the other halacha, the other condition needs to be met, which is that you have to have some sort of physical act. So Rabbi Yochanan holds that physical act exists over here too, because you had a kimas piv, and you moved your mouth. And on that, Rish Lakish argues, and he says, no, the moving of the mouth is totally insignificant, it's just a coil, it's just a voice, and you didn't have the actual physical act which is needed, the second halacha which is needed in order to mechayev malchus. So, but in terms of the chomer Halav, that everybody agrees, both Arichem and Rish Lakish, we had the requisite of Chaymer Halav because of the fact that even when I just yell, I physically impact the animal and cause it to be prevented from eating. And Mela, therefore, even the Chinuch would agree that this is not a good example of his Yesod that he holds normally, that if I could violate without a Maisa, then I'm never going to get Malkus even with a Maisa, because he was talking about the Chaymer Halav aspect of the Lois Asay. For example, Hanoah's possible Cholav lacks the Chaymer Halav because I could violate it without a Maisa. But Lois Sachsen does not lack the Chaymer Halav because it can't be violated in a manner that doesn't have at least B'dibure is Avid Maisa, that you're always going to have. The animal is always physically prevented from eating, even if he just yelled, it was physically prevented from eating. So the Chaymer Halois Asay is met. As long as they have the record of the Chaymer Halois Asay, even the Chinuch will agree, I'm just going to look at each individual case, find that if there was some sort of physical activity that was done, and there, even according to the Chinuch, if I had the physical activity, I muzzled it and I threshed with it, and you're going to get the Malkus, and if I lack the physical activity, I just yelled, and according to Rish Lakish, it's not called a physical act, and therefore, you're not going to get Malkus, even according to the Sefer HaChinuch, because in this Gemara, I have the Diburius Avad Maisa, which suffices to give me the requisite Chomer Halav, so that I have sufficient severity in the Lois Asay. Another thing that the Mishas Yavit says that we could achieve, according to his Yesoid, of the two separate elements which need to both be fulfilled in order to get the Malkus, is that according to him, he says, we could answer it a very straightforward answer, a big kasha that Tosis asks in the next Tosis, and there are Masa Rishlokish. Tosis asks, the next Tosis as follows, what is the mocker, what is the source that we require a lav to be Yeshay Maisa in order to Mechayev Malkus? So what's the source for that? So he quotes the Gemara in Malkus, that it's based upon the fact that when the Torah gives the Pasuk of Malkus, which is in Parashat Kisese, immediately after that it says, Loi Sachsem Sher Bedish. So that Leisasan Shebedisha, which is written immediately after Malkus in the Chumash, is a paradigm. It's a malamed, and it tells us that the only time when I give you the din of Malkus on any Lois Asay, if it's Dumya, the Lav, the Chasim, it has to be comparable to the Lav of Lois Asay Shevedishoy, and since Lois Asay Shevedishoy is a Lois Asay Yeshay Malkus, so therefore, for Sheshay Maisa, it has an act associated with it, so therefore, the only time I'm ever Machai of Malkus is only Dumya the Lois Asay, which is to say that it has a Yeshay Maisa. If Frank tells this, I'm going to take a question. That works well according to Rabbi Yechon, who Taka does in fact hold that every violation of Lois Asay Shevedishoy always has a Maisa. Because even if you would just yell at it, it would still be called a Maisa, because Rabbi Yochanan holds Akimas Piv Havi Maisa, that the movement of the mouth has a Maisa. So good, it works out well. Every Leisachsim has a Maisa, so I know to learn out from there that you need Dumi de Leisachsim, that the Malkus is only going to be a Mischayev only if I have Dumi de Leisachsim, which is they have a Maisa. But according to Rish Lakish, who holds that sometimes Leisachsim itself doesn't have a Maisa, which is to say, if I would yell at it, I'm over on Leisachsim, but it's without a Maisa. So how in the world do I know that Dumi de Lav de Chasima is going to require Lav Shiesh a Maisa, and only then you get the Malkus? Why don't you say Fakertzok Tosis, that according to Rish Lakish, Dumi the Lav de Chasima will say, I don't always have to have a Maisa, and Dumi the Lav de Chasima will tell me, regardless whether I do have a Maisa or don't have a Maisa in the violation, which after all, some Chasimas do and some don't have a Maisa, according to Rish Lakish, so I should take out of there that every Lav in the Torah is going to get Malkus, regardless of whether it does or does not have a Maisa, because that would be the Dumi the Lav de Chasima, according to Rish Lakish. So why in the world is Rish Lakish going to be masking altogether that there is a din, that only a Lois says Sheshe Maisa has Malkus? Because he ought to have taken out of the Lav de Chasima, which is the paradigm, that's the Malame to call a Terakula, that according to him, it itself doesn't always have a violation of, doesn't always have a Maisa. So let's take out of there that even without a Maisa, you get Malkus. That's Tosis Kasha and Rish Lakish, a big Kasha. Tosis suggests in one side that maybe Rish Lakish has a different source, a different mocker for the din of Leisafsa, for the din of Lav Shiyeshe Maisa, Loikon Alov, Ain the Maisa, Ain Loikon, and does not in fact learn it out of the Dumi de Lav de Chasima of the Gemara in Makkas. That's a Tosis, is somewhat madchik to get around the problem. The Meshes Yaivitz argues, however, that according to his understanding of the Yesoidos of the Sugya, the entire question of Tosis doesn't even begin. Because, he says, in reality, like we explained, there are actually two independent Yesoidos of Yeshay Maisa that are both required to exist together in order to Mechayev Malkus. And in fact, we have to have Dumi de Lav de Chasima, that's really just one of the Yesoidos, and that's the one that's about the Chomer HaLav. The Lav has to be a Lav, which is Dumi de Lav de Chasima. It has to have that's the severity comparable to the severity of the Lav HaLeisachsim. Well, what gives the Lav HaLeisachsim its severity is the fact, like we said, the Bidiburi is Avid Maisi, like Tosis says in the previous Tosis, that you were impactful, your dibur had an impact, it achieved a physical result, which is the animal did not eat. That's the Chomer HaLav HaLeisachsim, and in fact, it exists according to even Rish Lakish, not just according to Rabbi Yochanan, because as we said before, Nishtin Darayin licked the Machlokes of Yochanan Rish Lakish. They're not arguing about that point, like it seems in the Gemara they don't argue about it. Rish Lakish agrees with Rabbi Yochanan on this point, that Lav HaChasima is impactful, and it has the proper Chomer HaLav of a Lav Sheyeshe Maisa, and consequently, the Gemara is right in Makkos for saying that Lav HaLeisachsim is a paradigm to call it Terakula, and that's even according to Rish Lakish. Lav HaLeisachsim has a Chomer, it has a severity in the Lav, because as Taisa says, a B'diburius Avid Maisa, from there we learn how to call it Terakula, only the Lav that have a Chomer, a severity in the Lav, those are the ones that are going to get the Malkus. There is an independent Halacha also required, says Taisa, says the Mishnah Yavitz, we require that as well, but it's not learned out of the Lav HaChasima, it's learned out of a different source, independent limud that tells me that there's a din that only a physical act can generate malchus. That's not a din of the chomer halav, and it's nothing to do with the sugya in Makkos that says that the lav has to be dumi the lav the chasimo. There's an independent halacha learned that from elsewhere that only if you do a physical act you get malchus, not if you don't. And that's where shlokas sheet over here. Koil is not a physical act, so it can't generate malchus. Masha'in kain muzzling it and threshing, those are physical acts, and therefore they are machai of malchus. But those are a function of an independent halacha that only a physical act is machai of malchus, and that was not the discussion, not the subject matter of the Gemara in Makkos when it said that the lav that's Machayev Malkos is only Machayev if it's Dumya, the lav, the Chasimo. That's a question of the severity of the lav itself, and that you always have, even according to Rish Lakish by Chasimo, because of the fact that Chasimo has Bidibure is Avid Maisa. That's the Mishas Yavis Yisoidois in the Sugya here. The Gemara goes on, and it brings in a braisa that says that a person who rents a poro and then is doshba when he's with a muzzled manner, choisim es a poro v'doshba, so he gets actually two punishments. Number one, he's loike, and the second is that he is mishalem. He's mishalem a certain amount for a poro, a certain amount of chamor, the expected amount that the animal would have eaten while it was threshing. And you have to pay that to the owner because you deprive the owner of it by muzzling the ox, which you had rented from him. So you're loike and you're mishalem. Frete gemora akasha. What happened to Kimle Rab Minei? A person is not loike umeis. He's not loike umishalem. So the gemora says either Abaya answered, Hamani Rab Meir, he that says you are loike umishalem. Rab Meir holds that it's not a stira and you could be, a person can be chayev malkos and tashlum in both. Rava, however, argues on that. And Rava says that Esnan osra toira vafilu bo al imoy. The Rava says that when the Torah said that a person who gives a zayna a gift of an animal, and the Torah, of course, is a special parsha in the Torah of Esnan zayna leisavi Esnan zayna etc. Based Hashem lekachal lechol neder. The halacha is that if a person remuneration that a person gives to a zayna for her services, that animal cannot be brought for the Beis Hamikdash as a korban. For Dr. Rava, the stimas haloshon of the pasuk implies that that's even if he's living with his own mother and he gave it to his mother. It's lamaisa that act of the bia that he lives with his mother is mechayev a misa. So even though it's mechayev a misa, af al pi kein, it seems that the animal that he gives to her is still going to be possible for a korban because the Torah says that it's din bistama, even if at the same time that he gives the gift, he gives the zayna, the esnan zayna to the zayna, that was together with an act that was a mechayev of misa. If the act was mechayev misa, we don't say kum rab minei, and therefore it's not mechayev momen. So consequently, it ought to follow that the animal is not labeled, it's lacking in the shem of an esnan zayna, because lechayra there was no mechayev of momnus altogether to the zayna, that the person was mechayev misa with the act that he lived with his iroi, so there was no mechayev of momnus. If so, the animal it ought to be totally lacking in the shem esnan zayna. Why is it possible for a carbon? This is the question. So it must be, in other words, that afal pikein, even though he's mechayev misa, afal pikein, there is an etzem chi of momen, an intrinsic obligation to pay up anyway. It's just that bezin doesn't get involved. Rashi explains this over here, and Rashi says that the yesoid that Rava is bringing out is that even though the Bezdin ain't koyach, but Bezdin lo onshestayim. Bezdin doesn't have the koyach to manage him to onshim. Afal pikein, the person has not fulfilled his own obligation until he has paid up, because there is an obligation losses yidei shamayim, which is an absolute obligation. A person has to pay it. It's just that Bezdin doesn't get involved. Inami, Rashi adds further. Inami, we could also add that itofas lemafkinim inay, that if in fact the person who's mechuyev to receive the money, they should be getting the money, if he's toifas, if he seizes it, we would not take it away from him, because there was an etzem chi of moment. It's just that Bezdin does not obligate it. And Meila, what Rav is saying is that just like we find this yisoid by Esnan, it's actually a yisoid that we could use to apply to Kol HaTorah Kula, that even where the person had a din of kibbutz minei upon himself, that only meant that Bezdin doesn't get involved to mechayev him to pay. The person personally is obligated to pay, and that's what the Brais is saying. The Brais says he's loike or mashalim, a certain amount for a par, a certain amount for chamer. In a chanami, Bezdin won't get involved, and Bezdin won't actively be goyve it, because like we're saying, there's a kibbutz, but it's still negair that the person has a personal obligation. That's how Rashi explains. The Ketzois in Simen Chof Ches brings down on this Rashi a big chiddush from the Marshal. And we have over there in Simen Chof Ches a big vels machloikis between the Ketzois and the Nesivis, how to understand this Marshal's chiddush. The Marshal is machadish that even though it appears that Rashi says that since there is an obligation to pay up, even in the case of Kamir Aminei, so therefore itofas lemafkin aminei, if you are toife, Bezdin will not take away that which you are toifes, because there is this intrinsic obligation, so therefore if you're toifes, you get to keep it. The Marshal says that this is only talking about a case where the person did the violation in a manner which won't actively be mechayev the miso or the malchus bepoyo. Like, for example, he did it without hasro, there was no warning, so even though there is a mechayev to get the misos Bezdin or to get the malchus, but you're not going to actually get the chiv that Misa or Malkus, because there was no Hasra. Or with Bizman Hazer, Zok the Marshal, we actually have no ability altogether to paskin to manish with a chi of Misa or Hasra. Or another example, a person with a Shoigeg. See, with a Shoigeg, he did a Beshoigeg unintentionally. In all of those cases, there is a din of Kim Mirab Mine, but and that's where Rashi's going to say that there is still certainly an obligation to pay up. It's just that Bezin can't be Machayavit, and he tofas lamafkin amine. We know we have this long sugyas, many sugyas in Masechet Ketubos about this, that chayve misos shoygin are potter from tashlum. In other words, even in a case where the person won't actively get the chayv misa, still he's potter from paying up anyway. The Mashal says that there's a distinction. If it's just a chayve misos shoygin or some other case like it where you won't actively get the chayv misa, then the chayv mamon remains incumbent upon you, even though Bezin won't actively take it from you, but the chayv mamon remains upon you to the point that there's a chilus yishamayim, and like Rashi says, if the Tovea seizes the money on his own, if he's tafas, lamafkinim, we won't take it away. But if there was an actualized bepoildek, a fulfillment of the din miso, the din malchus, that is to say that the person actually got the miso, the malchus, that's called avdin and achorma, we did the severe of the punishments. So if we are avdin and achorma, says the Mashal, then there's no ability to be tofes and tofas mafkin aminei. Even if he seizes it, it will take it away from him. The Ksoi says on this that this pshat, it sounds like a divine virus. That's the language of the Ksois. It sounds like somebody had to be a prophecy, a prophet, to be able to say it. How in the world? Rashi doesn't. There's no indication whatsoever in Rashi. It was not talking about a case where the din was actively fulfilled. Rashi makes no shum mention of such a thing. And why would anybody assume that there's a distinction between the types of Kimur Abinei? Kimur Abinei, which was just a shaygigin or a lack of active fulfillment. So that's where, if you're tofas, you get to keep. Whereas if it was a political fulfillment, if you tofas, you can't keep mechtesi to say it. However, Zoktik Sois, Lamaisa, he feels, after being ma'ayin, that there is a raya to this Yisoid of the Marshal from a Toisis, which is found both in our sugya as well as in a sugya in Masechta Sanhedrin. Toisis in our sugya as a kasha. The Gemara in Masechta Sanhedrin Ayin Beis brings a story in which Rava had some dinorim, some money stolen from him by a ganav who was Bava Machteres. The ganav was tunneling into Rava's house. The ganav was invading and intruding on Rava's house. And we know that the Gemara tells us in Masechta Sanhedrin about Bava Machteres two things. Number one is that the Gemara based on a pasuk that Bava Machteres is actually actually mischaya benafshoy. That says if a person discovers an intruder in his house who's looking to steal, you're allowed to pull out a gun and shoot him. That's the halacha. Why? Well, the Gemara gets into a whole discussion based upon the pasuk in the Chumash that we assume that the intruder always says to himself, and he's machlis b'daitoy, that if necessary, he's going to kill the homeowner. If the homeowner stands up and resists, he'll kill. So therefore, since he's coming to kill, every intruder, every bob machteris is coming to kill, therefore you're allowed to kill him. He's mechayev benafshe, the Gemara learns from a pasuk. Number two, the Gemara also says, a sveita point on top of this, which is that vibald, that every bob machteris is mechayev benafshe, that he's really mechayev misa, in other words, if you kill him, you could actually have the right to kill him. After the fact, if he's no longer he's out of the home, you can no longer kill him at that point. But b'shas maisa, while he's intruding and invading your home, you're allowed to kill him because we assume that he's a roidef and he's looking to kill you if necessary, and a roidef is nitla tzila b'nafshoy. So the Gemara says that because of that, as a result, anything, any stolen goods that the Bava Machteris takes as a result of his having invaded your home, he's actually not mechuyif to return them because we say kill mirab mine. Thus says that since at that time when he was invading your home, he was actually mechuyif misa in the sense that he's a roidef and he's nitla to get killed by you. So therefore, consequently, at the time when he took those actions, the tanking was unable to serve as a mechayev. When the Bava Machteris took something, stolen goods, and took it from your house, that stealing act was then unable to serve as a mechayev of money, because at that very time he was being mechayev benafshoy, because a Bava Machteris could be killed. And Meila, therefore, we say that since he had a din misa upon him at that time, so the stealing of the object cannot be a mechayev of money, because it's killed. And therefore, that's what the Gemara brings down over there, that Rava, who had some dinorim stolen from him by the Bava Machteris, which Be'etzim Bava Machteris was part of him paying it back. So it says over there in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that the Bava Machteris subsequently, the robber went ahead and wanted to give it back, and Rava refused to take it. V'loy kablinu. He refused to take it. He said, Rava said, that actually I'm not entitled to get them, because Vibalt, that there's a Bob Machteris who took it, and the Bob Machteris was not Mechuyev, he was not Chalon of any Chiyev moment, because he was Mechuyev Misa at that time. So even though he's now returning it to me, I refuse to take it back, because the money is not coming to me. Frektois is Akasha, L'chayra, it ought to emerge from our Gemara, or the Gemara of Esnan Osna Zayna, that L'chayra, Zokdi, the Toysis, that Bo Losi De Shamayim, which is to say that an actual Shemayim Dika obligation in the Pia Din Torah, that the robber didn't have the obligation to return it back to Rava, Losei Shemayim. Granted, the Bezin can't be koi for you to return it back, but by Losei Shemayim, there was an actual obligation on him to return it. That's what you see in our Gemara, but it didn't have Esna Sazayna. There's always a Chilas Shemayim, even by case of Kamiramine. If that's the case, so by Losei Shemayim, you have to return it. So why didn't Rava just take it back? Because the person was obligated to give it to him, Losei Shemayim. So Taisis says, you have to answer that the person who was giving it back was not giving it back. The robber was not coming to fulfill the Shemayim. Rather, he was returning it back because he mistakenly thought that even Bedini Odom, he was obligated to pay. That was a mistake. Bedini Odom, he wasn't obligated to pay. So Rava felt that he was obligated to tell this person that I'm not taking it from you and you can take it back, because if your whole thinking why you're paying me is because of the fact that you think mistakenly the Mechuyev to pay back, even Bedini Odom, that I'm telling you is wrong. If you would have been coming to pay Losei Shemayim, and a Chanami Rav would have taken it. That's what Tosfos says. Frektik says, and L'chayra, on the face of it, it seems that this Tosfos is Nistaf Ashtein. Very difficult, because you just have to look in the words of Rashi that we quoted earlier. And Rashi says clearly that not only is an obligation Losei Shemayim to pay, but even more than that, talked Rashi, if you're Tofas L'mafkinimine, if you would seize it, he would not take it away from you. So what in the world was the problem over there? The person was offering the money to Rav, let Rav just take it, and he sees that he was Tofas, and therefore, we would not take it away from him. So L'chayram, Zok Diktois, that even though Rava, it's true that Al Losei Shemayim, Rava, the person was mistaken, a mistaken notion, he wasn't coming to Losei Shemayim, etc., etc., those things are all true. But if Rashi adds to that, that even if you're Tofas L'mafkinon, let Rava just seize it, let me seize the dinners, and then he won't be to take it away from him. He has the right to seize it, Frektik Tois. So why didn't Rava tell his Toifis also dinner to seize them? Zotik Tois, on Toisus directly, we maybe won't ask the question, because in Toisus we don't know that Toisus necessarily agrees that Tfisa helps by Losei Shemayim. Perhaps Toisus holds that you can't be Toifes, even though it's really coming to you, but you can't seize it for yourself. But Rashi is certainly Shver. Rashi says black and white that you could be Toifes. So at the bit according to the Mashal, it works out very well, because the Mashal tells us that Rashi's Yisoy does not apply in a case where we are Adin and Achumro, where we actively obligate you to pay, to we actively carrying out the more active, the more chomer dekadin, and we are actively getting the more chomer dekadin, then there's no halacha altogether, according to the mashal, that you could be toifis for the lesser din, to fulfill the lesser din. Well, in the case of Bob Machteris, that's called a din na chomer. The ktsois endeavors to demonstrate that even if the ganav got it unscathed and alive, but the essence, in fact, there was an active din to kill him as long as he was invading the person's house, that's called that we gave him actively, not just theoretically, but actively, the more severe halacha. So with this, since we actively had the more severe halacha, there was never an ability to be toifes from that individual, because like the mashal says, Yisoid, and this proves the mashal's Yisoid, that in a case we actively gave you the more severe din, there's no halacha, no ability to be toifes for the lesser din. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman summarizes the Yisoidis of this Sois, and he explains that the bottom line is that the Sois held that there are really two independent halachas in killing Rabbi Minei. One of them is in a case where the active greater chiyuv was placed upon you, and there we say something called a concept bechlal masayim mona, included in the greater is the lesser. The hainu, a person who gets a very severe oinish, so subsumed under the very, very severe oinish was also the lesser oinish, as if both were fulfilled within him, even though he only actively got the greater one. The greater one is so severe, it automatically includes the lesser, and in Mela, it's like the lesser one was actually fulfilled because he got not just the lesser, but a very severe oinish. The second halacha comes about, is in a case of a person who's a chayv mitzvah shoyging in, a person who, for whatever reason, is not going to actively be getting the more severe halacha in an active manner. Nonetheless, the Gemara tells us that even chayv mitzvah shoyging in, the halacha is that you're going to be potter from getting the lesser halacha as well. But that din, Zokta V'chanan, is a different independent halacha. That's not based upon the fact that we consider it as if that you had gotten the lesser punishment upon you fulfilled as well. No, in the case of chayv mitzvah shoyging in, you didn't even get the greater punishment at all. Over there, the halacha is an independent din that in a case where a person did a maisa which is mechayev, a more severe oinish, that maisa can't mechayev a less severe oinish in terms of the onshe bezdin. Bezdin can't actively give you, they can't actually exact from you, to take from you, the lesser oinish in a case where your maisa was a mechayev of a greater oinish. Zatar b'chana, the nafkemina is, like the Ksai says, if you actively got the greater oinish, as if the lesser oinish was mamash, totally fulfilled, and therefore there is no din upon you to get the lesser oinish, and a mele is called tofas mafkina mine. That's what it says in the sense of Rashal. Tofas mafkina mine. Even if you seize it, we're still going to take it away from you because of the fact that there is no din to do the lesser oinish, because the lesser oinish was as if it was fulfilled since it was subsumed under the act of greater oinish that you actively got. Masha ain't came in the case like the way the Marshal understands Rashi, where it was a chayv mitzvah shoygigin, and therefore it was without hasra, and therefore there was no active fulfillment in any way of the more severe oinish. So over there, really, the lesser oinish is not fulfilled at all. It happens to be there's a din on bezin that bezin cannot exact from you the lesser oinish because you did some an action which was a mechay of the greater oinish as well. But that's just a din on bezin. But the chiyuv of the lesser oinish is mutl upon you. The chiyuv of the moment in this case is mutl upon you. Therefore, lo seish shemayim, you're going to have a din to pay. And also, likewise, in the same manner, if the other fellow is tofas, it won't take it away from him because the fact that the actual din of the lesser oinish is still really mutl upon you. The Ksais is forced to learn based on all this, and he actually speaks it out in the Meshavim of Nesivos, that both of the dinim in our Gemara are both only applicable in scenarios in which we did not actively carry out the greater oinish. The Hainu. The Gemara tells us, Esnan Osra Torah Afilu Bava Alimoi. According to the Ksois, that's only true in a case where the person was Ba Alima, but there was no Hasra, and no Edom Hasra. If there would have been Edom Hasra, and the person would actively be getting a death penalty for being Ba Alimoi, then it would not be true to say, as the Gemara says over here, that the animal that he gave to his mother in return for her services of living with him, that animal has a Shem Esnazun, is possible as a carbon. That would not be true according to the Ksais, because in a case where the active Oynish is actually being fulfilled, the Chi of Misa, there is no din on the person at all, to Makayim the din moment at all, the way the Ksais understands from the Mashal. And it may, even if he does give his mother the animal, it doesn't have a Shem Esnazun, it's not possible for carbon. And the Ksais has to learn that Al Gemara that's saying that the Esnaz is acid by the Torah, even his Baal Limoy means Baal Gavoh Alimim without an active Edom HaHashroah. Likewise, the Sois also has to learn that the Etzam Din of our Gemara, which is that a person who is Choysim as a part of a Dajba, is Loike and also Mashalim, in other words, he muzzles the animal and threshes with it. So, first of all, he has Malkus, and second of all, he also has to pay the owner of the animal he rented from because he deprived the animal of food. That the Sois has to learn that that's only in a case of the person not actively getting a Chi of Malkus because there wasn't actively any Hasroah that warned him. So, in such a case, there's an Etzam Din Malkus, a more theoretical Din Malkus, but he's not actually getting the Malkus, and there you pay the money. Masha, you have to do Los Tishamayim to pay the money, really, and the Tofas would mafki the money from you. Masha Inkin, in the case of a person who's actually going to be getting Mamish Malkus Bapoyo because he was warned Edom Asroah, in such a case, there's no Din Mamon altogether, and there's no Tishamayim, and there's no Tofas Mafkin, but either way, it's always understands, because there we say this idea of Bechlal Mosayim Mona, the person get Malkus, a very severe Malkus, and there the Mamon Stik Din was subsumed under it, and therefore, consequently, if you're paying the money, Meila, you're not going to have any din moment at all. The Mesivis writes about this, that's a Mishnah Doichik in the Gemara. He said the Gemara Bechlal not Mashma this way, and he says, in his opinion, it seems to be clear that the Gemara is saying that even in a case where there was an actual fulfillment of the din Misa for living with Imoy and Afal Pikain, the Esen is going to be Osa Toya is going to be Kuav Hashem Esten on that. How are you going to explain that, Zokter? According to the Ksais. The way the Ksais learns, we have this Meshurdik Yosoi that if we actively gave you the greater din, the lesser din is incorporated within it, and therefore, Melo, there's actually no Chi of Mamon in such a case. That's not what's going on. That's not what's being said by this Gemara, says in Asivis, because the Gemara is clearly Meduyik that even if he's getting the Onyush Bisa's Bezdin Baal Imoy, there still is a Shem Esan on the essence. There is an Etzam Chi of Mamon in a case, even in the case where the din Misa is actively being fulfilled. Based on this, the Nesivis claims that Avada the Mashal never meant to say what the Ktsois was Miyachis to him. And there's no question in Nesivis' eyes, he says, that a person, regardless of whether the Onish was fulfilled or was not fulfilled in a Bepoyaldic active way, the person definitely does have an Etzem obligation to pay up the money, and therefore, if he does pay it up, then the animal has a Shem Esnana. But in the case of Esnan Zoyna, the Mashal Zokt the Nesivis meant to say that in a case where the Onish was actively fulfilled, it's not Mutar lechatchilo to be toifes, even though it wouldn't allow you to be toifes, and that's the issue. And the Nesivis explains this by pointing out, he brings a raya, that the way that we allow a person ever to be toifes when money is coming to him, so money, grand money is coming to you, but if business is not getting involved, what allows you to be toifes? So this is based upon a sugya in Baba Kama, Ovid Inish Dinel Nafshei, which is to say that if a person has money coming to him, in certain cases we allow him to act in place of the bezin, and shtot the bezin, he'll be the so-called the bezin in terms of being going. So that's what allows a person to be toifis whenever he's allowed to be toifis, up in the Sivis, is the fact that he is, so to speak, serving as the bezin in terms of being goiva and collecting the money. Well, on that, the Marshal says that in a case where we actively fulfilled the greater obligation, the din mamoin, the din malchus rather, or the din misas bezin, we're not going to allow you to be toifis, because allowing you to be toifis means that we're allowing someone to serve in the role of a bezin and collect money. That we're not going to allow you to do if there's a greater oinish that's also being fulfilled at the same time. Then it's a specific question of whether we'll let you be toy-faced, but in terms of whether there's an intrinsic obligation of Lot Seti De Shamayim, whether an intrinsic obligation exists upon the party that's obligated in the money, should he pay it up mitzidoy? Absolutely, says the Nesivos. That's even the case of Avdin Nachurma, the Mashal never meant to negate that, and consequently our Gemara is definitely talking about a case even where the person is getting the active Oynish Bezdin for being Baal Imoy. Afal Pi Kein, he has it does have an intrinsic obligation, let's say Shemayim, to pay up. And if he does pay up, he gets a Shem Esnan, and that's true even by a case of a Mezid Vehasro, like the Pashtus of the Sugya, Zokta Nesivis. The Mashal is only geared to a very specific local question, granted that there is a Chiv, let's say Shemayim, even where the act of Oynish is being carried out, Afal Pi Kein, will we let you be Toyface? And the answer to that is, you can't actively be Toyface. We won't allow you to actively be Toyface, because that's an act of active punishment, which we don't let you do in a case where you're being actively punished with the greater oinish of the Misa or the Malkus. Interestingly, there's actually another pshat entirely in the Rishonim in what Esen Osa Torah Afilo Ba'al Ima means altogether. The Me'iri and Masechta Bava Kama brings down between the Chachmei HaTzofasim that the Chachmei HaTzofasim held that this Gemara is not coming to say, like it seems from the Pashtas of Rashi here, the way Rashi seems to learn, which is that in any case in which a person has a dual Mechaivus that come about by means of his act, he's Mechaiv Misa plus money or Malkus plus money, in any case like that, we automatically say that even no matter you have the greater Einish upon you, but the smaller oinish, the money in this case, will be losse shamayim, remain upon you. That's not the pshat in the Gemara, according to the Tzorfasim quoted by the Me'iri. Rather, says the Me'iri, the Tzorfasim learned that our Gemara was talking about the specific fact that in these scenarios given in the sugya here in Bava Metzia Tzadik Aleph, we're not talking about a monetary oinish, but whether we're talking about a monetary eschaivus that the person obligated himself in. A person obligated himself in paying up to Zoyna, the Esnan Zoyna. It was an obligation he took upon himself. A person obligates himself likewise when he takes in somebody Yenim's animal, he obligates himself in the mumness of paying up a certain amount of coming through a certain amount of food over the course of the day for Yenim's animal that he rented, because he's not going to be muzzling it. The Torah doesn't allow you to muzzle it. So therefore, there's an intrinsic obligation that a person accepts upon himself that he's going to be feeding a certain amount over the course of the day. So the Tzofasim said on that, if it would have been a question of an oinesh moment, like for example a mazik. A person is mazik, the Gemara talks in different mekoimos, a person is mazik and at the same time mechal l'chil Shabbos. So over there, that is a question of whether there's a oinesh misa and an oinesh moment for mazik, a punishment of moment that's going to be incurred at the same time. And the Tzofasim learned up that in a case like that, since there's an oinesh misa, there is no oinesh moment that's chal at all, not even l'asei shamayim. But since in this Gemara we're talking about a personal eschayv as a person accepted upon himself, that's where the Gemara says Esnan Osa Teva Afilo Ba'alima, because even though there's a din of a greater oinish, there's a misas bezdin that the person is mischayev upon incurs that he becomes mechuyevin, but that doesn't take away from the fact that you personally obligated yourself in the mumness as well, and therefore you still remain mechuyev in the mumness. And the Gemara is stelling too. The same is true likewise by the case of choysim part of a law of dashba. Even though you're getting a chiyev of malkus by means of the fact that you were dosh with a chasima, with a muzzled animal, but afa became, that doesn't take away from the fact that you had obligated yourself to come through with a certain amount of food over the course of the day. That's an obligation that you took upon yourself, not an oinish moment, but a hischaivus on which you accepted upon yourself, and therefore that doesn't get negated. It doesn't get canceled simply by means of the fact that the person is mechuyev in the greater oinish. So that's the alternative mahalach that the Me'iri brings down, and what the Gemara means by esan osot of afilo ba'alimoy, according to this pshat, based on the fact that it's a chiyuv mumnus that you obligated yourself in, and therefore doesn't get taken away by the greater oinish. On Amud Beis, the Mishnah brings down that v'kulon loy amru ela b'shas malacha. Going back to our regular discussion of these sugyos of when a poyel has to be permitted to eat from the grain that he's working on. So the Mishnah says that obligation that you mechuyev to allow the poyel to eat is only b'shas malacha while he's doing the work. And not when he's not doing the work, but mishum hoshev aveda lebailim, in order to hashavas aveda to the bailim, which is to say the bailim has to gain from this, so the bailim ends up, it's a hakol revach, a complete gain. So therefore the rabbi said, Amru, they said, that poilim oichlam bali chosan, may omen lo omen vechli rosam el agas, in other words, that they're allowed to eat even while they're walking from row to row, etc., because it's actually a revach for the owner, that way it doesn't cause any loss of labor on the part of the laborer during the time he's working, because he's not going to be stopping to eat then. So therefore the rabbi's in acted that you could eat in between the omen, the omen, etc. That's the mission. Now, the Rambam has a completely different psak over here, which the Maisa, the Rishonim speak out that the Rambam had a different gears to the mission. There's a big mavucha here, which we'll try to go through succinctly and concisely. The Rambam brings down, rather than bring down what we have in the mission, the Rambam brings down that this ability that a poel has when he's working on mechubar to eat from the produce, that is only applicable, says the Rambam, only kishe yigmoir avoidosoi, when he's finished the avoida. The Rambam gives an example. She yivtzer, a person is harvesting, the yitin besal, and he's placing the produce in the basket. The Rambam shita is that while he's placing the produce in the basket, he's harvesting, he places the produce in the basket, he's not allowed to eat during that time. An incredible psak of the Rambam, which to be shown him shrayon, the Ritva says it's connected to the whole perik. The Vada, you are allowed. The Rambam says, no, until you're gomer the malacha, you can't eat. While you're harvesting, you put in the basket, you can't eat. Ad, she yimalenu, you finish the basket, filled it up, Nafet Sasal Mokam Acher, you're spilling the sal away into a different mokam. We'll talk about that lotion coming up. You're Nafet Sasal Mokam Acher. And there, when you finish filling the sal, finish the basket with produce, then you're allowed to eat, according to the Rambam. An incredible thing, the Rambam Psak appears to be, that a poel could only eat when he's finished the malacha, which the Ritva HaKadoshim writes in the beginning of the Sugya, earlier on Peizayin, that this Rambam is connected all the Sugyas, and it's connected Kol HaPerek, he says. That the whole Perek, it seems to be pretty clear, that the poel could eat while he's doing the work. And it happens to be that it can't be an early stage preliminary work. And it's true, the Gemara does say you need Gemara Malacha in the sense that it can't be a menachesh, it can't be weeding, which is done prior to the completion of the work. But avad, if it's a completion type act, for example, the poel is harvesting, the poel is putting the produce in the basket, during that time, the poel certainly definitely is allowed to eat, b'shas avoido, says the Ritva HaKadoshim. Not like the Rambam, who seems to say, or actually says, that he can't work, he can't eat during that time, he only has to wait until the basket is filled and then he could eat. An incredible psak of the Rambam. Now, Granada the Rishenu say, and the old Ritva speaks it out of here, and other portions speak it out as well, that the Rambam had a different gears in our Mishnah. Rather than being gears in our Mishnah of a cool Amorul Abishas Malacha, which if he gears that, which many poiskim all gears it seems to be pretty clear that the poiskim is allowed to eat during the Malacha, Abishas Malacha. The Rambam, however, in contrast, was gears like the gears as a riff over here, which some Sforim are gears it as the gears as a riff. The Rambam was gears in the Mishnah of a cool Amru. Ela b'shas gemar malacha. Instead of the gears that we have b'shas malacha, he was gears b'shas gemar malacha. And the Rambam understood that to mean that you have to be done the work. You're done. You finish the sal, and only then are you able to eat from the produce. And that's the gears of the Rambam. On this, there are two mahalchim in understanding the basic idea behind the shitas Rambam, and we'll try to say them over succinctly. Everybody agrees, and this is brought down by many, that the Rambam appears to be based upon a sefri. That's a cryptic sefri that the sefri says the cherme. That bechermesh loisonif, you can't lift up the sickle. So net the sefri says that b'shas the chermesh, the poil is not allowed to be eating. B'shas chermesh. So in other words, what the sefri appears to be saying is that while you're doing the harvesting, b'shas chermesh, the poil cannot eat. Some learn the sefri completely differently, but the Rambam understood the sefri kipshutai, that while you're picking up the sickle and while you're harvesting, you can't eat. And that sefri would be yielding the din that the Rambam says that the person b'shas the avoid of the chermesh is not allowed to be eating. What is the aside of that then? When taka could you eat? So on that, in the Evan HaOzol of Anorot and the Rambam and the Chaschiris, the Evan HaOzol brings down that be'emes to be shinim, that means the Magid Mishnah and the Ritva and the Gemara, they learned up in the Rambam in a certain very literal way that the Rambam understood you have to be done the work. Gemar Malacha, there's some kind of intrinsic halacha that the work has to be done, and only after the work is done, then the poil is allowed to eat. The Evan HaOzol, however, says that he believes that the Rambam never meant to say that. Even the Rambam says you have to be yigmor malachta, those are the words of the Rambam. The Evan also says it's clear to him that it's not the actual kavanah. First of all, look, the Evan also, according to that, how do we define the work is done? Let's say a poil is working the whole day long filling up baskets. So by the time of the end of the day, he's filled up already 20 baskets. Are you going to say, look, the Evan also, that he can't eat until after the 20 baskets are done and we're done and it's sundown and we're finished? That's like, oh my, oh my, oh my, look, the Evan also. No one was ever suggesting that that's a Rambam, that the worker can't eat a whole day long until the day is over. That's absolutely impossible. So Elamai, you have to say, the Rambam's Lashon is like that, Kesha Yigmar Hasal, which means even if he's doing 20 baskets that day, at the completion of each basket, he's allowed to eat, Kesha Yigmar Hasal. But what's the Hezber in that, Zokta Evan Ozel? Who determined that that's called the Homolocha's Nigma just because that basket is done? How are you going to explain that if you learn the way that some Rishonim learned, the Magen Mishnah and the Ritva learned up in the Rambam, that the Molocha has to be Nigma, the Etzem Din, the Locha has to be finished. So why is it called finished just because you finished that one basket? Second of all, says the Evan Ozel, if you look in the next halacha in the Rambam does not appear to have some kind of intrinsic halacha that the work has to be done. The way the Rambam sets it up is, when does a person violate this iser? And when do we say that the poel has eaten wrongly at a wrong time? When is that? The Rambam says, "Hamevatel mi malachtoi v'ochal." If he was mevatel from his work time, and while he was holding the sickle and harvesting the stuff, while he was picking the produce, while he was putting in the basket, he was mevatel malachta to eat. So then he was in violation of this halacha that the poel ate at the wrong time. The Rambam says, "So the doctors and the Evan also that's the wrong focus according to the way that Rishonim are learning up the Rambam." The Rambam should have said, said, if you ate before you were done, before the Gemara, that's all. If you ate before the Gemara, there's an intrinsic halacha. You have to be Nigmar. So let the Rambam say, if you ate before you were Nigmar, so then you were... You're in violation because he hadn't completely finished. What's this focus on the Lashon HaRambam about Mevatel Mimolachtoi V'Ochal, your bottle from your work? That based upon all these points, the Evan also writes that he says that if you read the Rambam very carefully, the Rambam meant to say something slightly different. The Pshan, the Rambam, is Zokter, that when a person is doing the real major exertions, if he's doing the harvesting, he's putting the stuff in the basket, so any activity during that time of stopping to eat something is automatically going to be called a Bittel Melachta, and that's what Rambam learned with the Sefri. Shas chermesh, you're not allowed to eat anything, not because of an intrinsic din, because you're not totally finished, you have to be completely finished. That's not the aside of the halacha. The aside of the halacha is if you're involved in the active labor, in the real yagiyah, the physical exertion, during that time when you're supposed to be involved, immersed in the activity of harvesting, etc., you can't even vattle from your malacha to engage in eating. Rather, the aside is, Dr. Evan, also during the breaks in the active, real super yagiyah, when the person of the poils involved in lesser work, even if technically it's called the middle of the halacha, but since at that time he's not involved in the real immersive activity, he's involved in a somewhat lesser activity, which is a lesser osuk in them, and he's able during that at that same time to reach out and eat something, that's when it's permitted. That's why if you look at the Lashon HaRambam, Zokta Evan Ozel, the Lashon HaRambam is that he's not allowed to eat while he's harvesting, while he's filling the sal. You have to wait till when? Ad she yimalenu, you filled up the sal, you filled up the basket, via nape tzah. What does that mean with those words? You're spilling over the cell, pouring it out into the big bin, into the big silo. It seems, Zokta Evan Ozel, that the pshad is that you finish doing the real immersive activity of harvesting and filling the cell, and you are actually working at that time, but you're doing something which is less exertion. It's easy. It just involves spilling out the cell to Mokam Acher. During that time, you are allowed to eat. Why? Because the Yesed of the Rambam is not a technical question of what's called the Gemar Malacha when you're totally finished. The Yesed of the Rambam is you can't be involved in the kind of exertion type activity which will be a bittul malacha if you're going to stop yourself at that moment and eat, because that would stop you from doing the difficult activity. However, if during the time when you're not involved in the difficult yagia type activity, you finish filling the sal, at that time you're pouring over the sal, pouring it out into the bin, you're not bittul malacha, that's not an immersive activity, and therefore a person is allowed to eat during that time. And that explains Dr. Evan Ozel, according to my husband, why he's allowed to eat after filling each sal, because you don't have to start trying to figure out some kind of a choik. He's totally called finished because he finished the sal. Why? He has another 19 sals left to do that day. There's plenty more sals left to fill. Why is that called the etzengar malacha? But the way I'm learning, Zok, there's no intrinsic halacha or gar malacha. It just has to be that you're not involved in the exertion type, the exertion component of the act. And that's why when you finish each sal, and now you're not involved in the exertion component. Of them, Zok, the Rambam, if you're vatel malachta v'ochel, so then you're in violation of this din, because the yisoid is not the fact that you weren't totally nigmar. The yisoid is that during the exertion component of the activity, you can't be mevatel malacha v'ochal, that the Lashon HaRambam. At that moment, if you stop yourself and you eat then, you're over on this din, which be a soidoi, is a problem of bittul malacha, of taking away from the yagia, the malacha that you should be giving over to the balabas.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a daf or masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.